Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And, Jim, we start with the good. We alluded to this yesterday in talking about some of the problems that Hillary Clinton has been having, and that is that she has a problem with millennials of all groups. That is a group that went very heavily for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012. But this time around, they really liked Bernie Sanders, and she's having a hard time winning them back. This is from Bloomberg. Hillary Clinton has a millennial voter problem, and she's working to address it with help from progressive icons Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who are slated to campaign for her this weekend in Ohio. The Democratic nominee is underperforming with younger voters, who are generally a stronghold for her party because of a huge trust deficit. Although surveys indicate they strongly prefer her to Republican Donald Trump, substantial numbers say they'll vote for a third-party candidate or stay home on Election Day. Bloomberg refers to a couple different polls here, one of which is far worse for Hillary than the other. There's a CBS New York Times poll showing that 48% of voters under 30 would go for Clinton. That's compared to 60% in 2012 for Obama and 66% in 2008. The Quinnipiac poll shows in a two-way contest, Clinton beats Trump among voters 18 to 34 by 55 to 34. But when you factor in Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, it's Clinton 31, Johnson 29, Trump 26, and Stein 15. So she's going to go out with this big speech on Monday begging young people to vote for her, Jim. That's not where the Democratic nominee expects to be less than 2 months from Election Day.
No, and I'm just kind of curious about what this pitch is going to be like, because apparently she did some recent interviews. She's like, oh, I really sympathize with the plight of the millennials and trying to find jobs and how bad the economy is. Is that the Obama message by any chance?
Probably not.
What I'm focusing on are more good-paying jobs. Isn't that kind of an acknowledgement that we're not generating that under the policies of this administration? Now, look, you know, Gary Johnson and Jill Stein Trump are all very different options for a different direction. But ultimately, this kind of gets to the core of it, which is that she's the status quo candidate. And I don't know how she's going to pitch herself to this demographic. It is interesting that they point out, look, millennials already despise Trump. This has never been a good demographic for Republicans for obvious stylistic reasons. Trump is not necessarily going to do naturally well amongst this, but similarly, both in terms of age, both in terms of having been in politics for a long time, having been part of the system for a long time, if you are disgruntled with things, I just don't see any natural gravitation towards it. And I suppose she'll try to make herself sound like Bernie Sanders and I'm going to make college education more affordable for you, and I'm going to help take care of you and your loans and stuff like that. The problem is every new Hillary Clinton proposal is a kind of implicit acknowledgement that Obama didn't get it done and that their lives are not better now than they used to be. And I just kind of have this very vision to see. You've seen the image on the internet, Greg, of Steve Buscemi, the actor,
yes.
Who's basically trying to infiltrate a group of kids and basically saying, like, hello, fellow young people. That's what it kind of comes across as, is the idea of this person who is completely not of this generation not being able to connect to it. And there's an excellent chance it's going to cross as horribly awkward. And I just can't wait, Greg. I can't wait to see Hillary Clinton try to appeal to, a demographic that's completely different from her, and not come across as arrogant and condescending, when that, of course, is her default setting from the factory.
I saw one story this week that said Bernie Sanders rested, ready, doesn't have pneumonia. We'll see if he can make the case for her. He tried to do it at the convention. Obviously, his polling numbers suggest that that hasn't taken. I did see another story out there today, Jim, and we have alluded to the fact in the past that a lot of times people who say at this point they'll vote for a third party candidate don't actually end up doing so, that Hillary might dust off Al Gore to come out and talk about what a danger it is to vote for the third party candidate and what that could lead to. So that'll be great, having Al Gore back.
Yeah. By the way, I'm kind of left scratching my head wondering, yes, traditionally third party candidates do wilt towards the end. People decide, okay, I want to have a say in who the two realistic – the two candidates most likely to win are. You see it in primaries. You see it in the general election. if you're at this point, one, I mean, Trump and Clinton are both so well known, and they've been covered all year long, and they've been in public life for so long. I'm really not convinced, other than you can't let the other, you can't let Trump win. That's why you got to support Hillary. I don't know what else is going to shake the Jill Stein supporters or the Gary Johnson supporters. What, is there something new you're going to learn about just Hillary Clinton and you're going to like her? You know, is she going to make, oh, wait, oh, then she unveiled this new policy proposal and now I feel completely different about her. I just, you know, it looks like she's trying to swim against the current here. And, maybe I should avoid physically strenuous metaphors. Let her rest.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's move on to the bad martini now. And as we speak, Donald Trump is holding a press availability in Washington. It's a big day for Trump. It's the grand opening, I believe, of the Trump Hotel, which used to be the old post office downtown. He also let it be known to the media through his campaign that he was going to address and assumedly say that he no longer has any concerns about whether Barack Obama was born in the United States and whether he's eligible to be president. Of course, Trump made a big deal of that back in 2011 when he was mulling a run in 2012. The media now has been clamoring for him to address this, and so he's going to. We'll see what he says. So, Jim, it's been fun to watch the buildup for this because the press has been covering this for a better part of a half an hour now, and he's had all these Medal of Honor winners saying what a great president he would be to a national television audience. But in the long run here, I'm not sure what this gains for Trump. It's almost like a when did you stop beating your wife question.
Yeah, I don't know if and when he ever gets to that addressing the birther issue. And by the way, as of this taping, it's still veterans talking about how great he is. All right. So apparently he just said President Barack Obama was born in the United States, period. Okay, we will see if this shakes out. But he got Donald Trump. I mean, he's holding the press conference in his new hotel in downtown D.C. He just began by talking about how great the hotel was and basically doing like an infomercial about how great the new hotel was for a good 10 minutes. Then he turned over to the stage. Various veterans and war heroes talking about how terrific he was. And Greg, they talked for probably a good 25, 30 minutes. And it was all them talking about how great he is. And the networks covered it live. And you kept waiting for them to cut away. But I don't know if like the deliberate positioning that Trump could come back and talk at any time and talk about. And obviously the media just can't wait to talk about how could you dare say this about the president? There's never any evidence. You're a crazy conspiracy. You know, they're just, you know. And for a good half hour, every cable network just showed one veteran after another, talking about how great he was. And somebody said, stop calling it a Rick roll, call it a Trump roll. Now, at some point, I don't see bringing up the birther issue again helps Trump at all. I could see, that obviously Hillary's already making an issue of it. Democrats trying to make an issue of it. It's hard to believe he'll come out of this news cycle with that much good commentary. But having said that, maybe you don't need that if you've conned the entire media into running an infomercial for a good 30 or 40 minutes.
Amazing stagecraft. But as long as we're on the topic of Trump and infomercials, let's move on to our crazy martini here. This is courtesy of the Daily Beast, which we don't reference an awful lot here on the Three Martini Lunch. But they've got an interesting story that actually came out on Thursday. It's written by Olivia Nuzzi. And the title is Putin TV Stars Pump for Trump. Inside Russia Today's American headquarters in Washington, across from the receptionist's desk, stamped by a lime green RT banner, an ad starring Ed Schultz and Larry King plays on a large screen TV. Schultz and King, whom he dwarfs, stand opposite one another, marveling at the success of the Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, which they both agree is astounding. Follow the 2016 campaign right here on RT America. Oh, wait, sorry, that's the wrong voice. That's Ed Schultz. Follow the 2016 campaign right here on RT America, Schultz says. King points at the camera and delivers the network slogan, and question more. So, founded 11 years ago, in September of 2005, Russia Today is a Moscow-based English-language news outlet which is funded by the Kremlin and serves to promote Russian state propaganda, like stories about the West collapsing and the CIA being to blame for the downing of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 over Ukraine, which, by the way, according to RT, Russia did not invade. But here's the fun part, because we all know what a flame-throwing liberal Ed Schultz has been over at MSNBC over the many years. When Schultz was on MSNBC, he was an enthusiastic critic of Trump, whom he lanced as a racist, and Russian President Vladimir Putin, whom he derisively labeled Pootie. But since joining RT in January, the News with Ed Schultz host has been neutered. He's an anchor now, he stresses, not a pundit. But as Michael Crowley noted for Politico magazine, his shows often focus on U.S. missteps at home and abroad, from oversized budgets to failing policies in the Middle East. Trump, rather than being called out, is instead giving an exceedingly fair shake, characterized as someone who's, quote, tapped into anger among working people. She says it's Putin-approved programming, in other words. So, Jim, Russia today, where integrity goes to die.
You know, too great. I'm going to give you one anecdote about Ed Schultz and one anecdote about Larry King. So the first is Ed Schultz. Some people, I remember, it's a couple of years back when he was still on MSNBC. At the end of Morning Joe one day, Joe Scarborough, they're just wrapping up, and he just all of a sudden acts like he's flipping out. And he throws his papers in the air, and he says, I'm going to burn down the building! And he walks off the set. And everyone else on the set, instead of like Mika and the regular crew, instead of being upset, they're all laughing hysterically. And no one quite gets, like, it was just an odd thing for Joe Scarborough to do. Well, apparently, the word or the rumor around MSNBC was that they had taped a promo for MSNBC and they'd featured every host except Ed Schultz. They had forgotten about him. He wasn't in it and he saw it and Ed Schultz flipped out and he just started screaming and throwing things and just having a full out tantrum. And he basically said if they didn't recut the commercial and put him in there, he was going to burn down the building. Now, luckily, Greg, I get along with all of my coworkers. I get along with my bosses. If NR puts out a promo and it's got Charlie Cook and Kevin Williamson and Jonah Goldberg and they forget me, you know, life is okay. I'm not going to get that upset about it. I'd like to be in there, but you know. But so when you say you're going to burn down the building, that's the weird guy from Office Space.
Yes.
You know, when you take his red streamlined stapler. Right?
That's right.
So Ed Schultz apparently always had this reputation of being kind of a hot, you know, let's say short fuse or hot tempered or something like that. Then he goes to RT TV and to do, you know, like you, everybody knows what RT TV is, right? I don't think there's anybody who goes to it who doesn't realize that it's Kremlin founded. If you're going to appear on it, you have to do what Jamie Kirchick did, which is to ignore every question, strip down to rainbow suspenders, and talk about how Putin is oppressing gay rights. As I may have mentioned in one of these programs, that you know, Jamie Kirchick does not, you know, he knew he was not going to get a ride home from the studio that day, and he would never be invited back, but for like 5 minutes, he was going to tell the truth to RT viewers. So Ed Schultz is perfectly comfortable doing this. Like there's no way he didn't know what RT TV was. Which if you want to talk about just like the truly soulless mercenaries in the world. Greg, you and I, you know, we're lucky to have places that we like and be able to say what we think and not have to toe a party line or a company line that's, you know, enormously out of line. But the idea of like, yeah, I'll take that money from the Kremlin and start giving conspiracy theories and stuff. I mean, it says a great deal about Ed Schultz, and anybody who ever was a fan of him, thinking that he was a genuine down-the-line liberal, probably should just sit in the corner in quiet contemplation and think about how they got it so wrong. Finally, on Larry King. Now, I understand when CNN let Larry King go, he was very clear he wasn't ready to retire. He didn't want to leave, never mind the fact that his career goes back to the Mesozoic era, that he, you know, that he really wanted to keep having this as his venue. So, Greg, your kids are probably a little too young for the Disney series called Gravity Falls.
Yes.
A good way of summarizing it is Twin Peaks for kids.
Okay.
And one of the episodes, they have the kid's uncle purchases a wax museum and they have all of these like B-level and C-level celebrities that have become, you know, wax figures, including Richard Nixon and Montezuma. And one of them was Larry King. And the joke is that at night they all come alive and they actually got Larry King to record the voice. But the thing is, all the statues are evil and they try to kill the kids. And it ends with Larry King's statue being beheaded. And the wax head of Larry King lives in the vents of the house. And in every couple episodes, you see his head bobbing back in the background. By the way, the uncle of the kids doesn't know who Larry King is. And he says, look, we got all these celebrities, Richard Nixon and a goblin man over there. I'll let you decide whether you think that's an appropriate comparison of Larry King or not. But the point being, those of us who watched Gravity Falls aren't surprised to see Larry King doing Kremlin propaganda because we knew he was evil all along. It was a prescient show. So well done, Gravity Falls.
Oh, that's
it. Larry King a long time ago.
That's an excellent analogy. The Daily Beast story also points out that Ed Schultz tried to start his career as a conservative talk show host, and that didn't work. And that's why he ended up as a raging liberal. And now he's doing Putin's bidding. So quite a career path.
Well, if you go from left to the hard left, maybe it's not that much of a shift after all.
Hard to get crazier than that for the end of the week. Talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great weekend, everyone, and join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.